In episode 123 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, we're flushing away $9,253,000. Here's an interesting story for you. So there's this guy. What is his name? Naoki Hiroshima. He had a pretty cool Twitter handle. It was @N. That's it.
That's
a,
pretty impressive.
A single letter. Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty rare. But he lost it. Well, he didn't lose it. It was taken from him, essentially, via an extortion thing. On January 20th, he was eating lunch when he received a text message from PayPal asking for a one-time validation code. Someone was trying to steal his PayPal account. He went, no big deal. Later on, he went on to, to check his email, and he found the last message he had received was from GoDaddy with the subject account settings changed confirmation. And what that meant was that he no longer had access to his email.
Ooh.
It was essentially gone. Yeah. And so he, tried to get a hold of GoDaddy and be like, what's going on? And they were like, well, your account's been changed. You changed it. He was like, no, I didn't. So he was like, this is bad. So then what happened, I'm trying to figure out the best way to share this. So eventually he did get a note. He set up another email or something like that. And he got an email from a person saying, I want your Twitter handle. If you want to get your email back, give me your Twitter handle.
Whoa.
And he goes, this Twitter handle was worth about $50,000 because he'd been offered that much and didn't sell it because he was like, oh, it's cool to have it.
Right.
And so this person hacked into his account, essentially, and so what was interesting is he ended up giving it to him because he's like, dude, I my email. So he gave up his @N, changed it to like @N is stolen or something like that. That's right. @N is stolen. and so this other person took it over, and then he was like, you want to know how I did it? He was like, okay, fine. And so essentially he goes, he started out with PayPal.
So the guy who stole, who extorted the Twitter account is now offering to do the classic bad guy monologue where he explains how he accomplished the dastardly deed?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. Classic.
Try not to be a cliche.
Yeah, emails him. It's hard. There's a reason why it's a cliche, you know?
Yeah.
So he says, I called PayPal and used some very simple engineering tactics to obtain the last 4 digits of your card. And so his advice was, avoid this by calling PayPal and asking the agent to add a note to your account to not release any details via phone. Like, thanks for the heads up. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
And then what he did is he called GoDaddy and told them that I had lost my card, but I remembered the last 4 digits. The agent then allowed me to try a range of numbers, 0 through 9 in your case. He goes, I have not found a way to heighten GoDaddy's account security. However, if you'd like me to recommend a more secure register, I recommend Namecheap or Enom. and then he's like, I love this. He goes, it's hard to decide what's more shocking. The fact that PayPal gave the attacker the last 4 digits of my credit card number over the phone, or that GoDaddy accepted it as verification.
Yeah, jeez.
He goes, so I asked more. He goes, yes, PayPal told me them over the phone. He goes, I was acting as an employee. And GoDaddy let me guess for the first two digits of the card. And, wow. Yeah, he said, yeah, pretty crazy. And so he was like, he was pretty lucky that he only had to guess two numbers and was able to do it in a single call. He goes, the thing is, GoDaddy allowed him to keep trying until he nailed it. Insane. I've been on those types of phone calls for, you know, for like banking information stuff. Yeah. And, you know, and it's like I'm calling about something and I'll have my card, but I don't have, you know, my notes on like what all my secret password and stuff is. Yeah. And I've been like, I just need to make this change. Like, well, before we can do that, you need to verify your account. I'm like, all right, fine, let's try one. And I've gone through like three or four different questions before I go, okay, yes, I know the answer to this one. Here it is. Like, all right, cool, you're in. So, you know, so they've done that kind of stuff. And so I get it. And, yeah, it was super interesting. And so his thing was like, this guy was able to get his email because he had it set up on Google Apps. And, you know, so it had a, you know, custom domain, essentially. And he was like, this would not have worked if he had used the @Gmail because you can't take over the domain name. You know, because essentially he was able to take over his custom domain. And then once he took that over, you know, he was able to redirect his email, essentially. So his email wasn't lost. It just, he couldn't access it anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
And because he just didn't have the account anymore. And he's like, but when you sign up for services, whether it's PayPal or whatever, like use your @Gmail because you can't, you know, he's not going to change the Gmail domain. And if he does, there's bigger issues at hand.
Yeah. Yeah. And, he's already won.
Yeah. Yeah. He won the internet for that day, essentially. Yeah. So, yeah, it was super interesting. And so then he like, you know, put in a complaint or asked someone at Twitter, was like, dude, this guy stole my, he extorted it from me. And I gave it to him because my email is important. And so he was trying to figure it out. And so this was him just kind of essentially writing an open letter to them, just like, figure it out, guys, what's wrong with you?
Right.
But pretty crazy. So PayPal denies everything, you know, they're like, no, we didn't do anything. Yeah, which you would kind of expect. And so they're like, PayPal says it carefully reviews its records and can confirm that there was a failed attempt made to gain the information. They did not divulge any credit card details, and they did not divulge any personal or financial information. Said this individual's PayPal account was not compromised. And you're like, yeah, that's where they're at.
Yeah,
GoDaddy, on the other hand, does accept partial responsibility, which is kind of cool to hear them say.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the thing with eBay is that they are notorious in that they don't they constantly don't take credit for, you know, mess ups. I mean, it's like it's honestly, I do not use PayPal because of all of the horror stories of where some transaction, somebody got scammed, got taken advantage of, and there was no recourse. There was nothing. PayPal was like, whatever, it's your problem, deal with it. And you're like, dude, it's my money. Like, I trust you. And they're like, it seems like your problem, not ours. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get sued by him or anything. But that's all. Those have always been the stories that I've heard, and it's led me to the point where it's like, you know, I'd rather use Square or, you know, credit card or something else where there's at least, it seems like there's some sort of a protection. So the fact that they would deny that they did anything wrong in this case to protect themselves is very par for the course. Now, does that mean that they're lying? No, it doesn't mean they're lying. Does it mean that I doubt their credibility? Yeah, absolutely I doubt their credibility because they're known to just, you know, shaft people.
Yeah. You know what it's kind of, I mean, GoDaddy sits there and is like, look, the hacker already had a lot of personal information, and we gave this person the benefit of the doubt. We go, we get it. And they're like, and so we need to do a better job of sussing out this type of social engineering, and we'll make the, you know, we'll work on that and train to, you know, to better overcome it. You know, they're like, the person still had a ton of information. You know, you can only be so crazy on it. His whole thing was like, you know, for like with the GoDaddy, he's like, it'd be sweet to just have like a reset button. You know, make it super easy to go, oh, I made a mistake, change it all back.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, it was super easy for this hacker to change it, but then there was zero way to revert it back and go, that was a mistake, shouldn't have done that.
Right.
And I'm like, that'd be kind of cool to have that option. Just be like, just kidding, joke's on me, you know, whatever, an undo button.
Control
which
Z.
I imagine it's not easy to do, but yeah, you know, I was like, I could see that as kind of, as you know,
middle
ground. That would be nice. Or at least hold on to the old information and go, yeah, you're right, this was you yesterday.
Right.
So, I get it. Right. And, you know, something like that would be interesting. And then TechCrunch had an article where they were just like, dude, why, what's up with Twitter? They're just silent on all of this. And they didn't say much other than it does look like and I can check this real quick here, twitter.com/n. This should still be true. At N hasn't tweeted yet. I don't know. But they were saying it was essentially taken down at the time. And so they're like, so it looks like they're doing something, but it'd be kind of cool. I mean, this article went super viral super quick, and so chances are it'll get resolved. But man, internet's a crazy place.
Yeah,
just a crazy place.
Right. Yeah, and it's funny. One of the things that I read that I thought was really fascinating was they're talking about, you know, different areas of weakness and stuff, and the biggest takeaway they said was that on the internet, the biggest weakness of internet security, digital security in general, has been and continues to be the human element. It's when you bring real human beings into the conversation and they're, you know, willing to, you know, talk and try stuff. And like you said, that the idea that this was social engineering as opposed to just a straight up digital hack is what makes it so, you know, it's like, that's what's so scary about it was, you know, you specifically targeted using just, you know, mostly non-technical cleverness. You know, he understood how the back end worked just enough to be able to, you know, play the part that he needed to play, you know, to act the part in order to get what he wanted. And that's the part that's just like, you know, how do you engineer around something like that? I think there are ways, but it's like, you know, voice recognition. Well, you know, what are we supposed to do here? You know, once you have a certain quantity of information, you're just, you know, you're in. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. That was the other one he said, talking about like dual authentication probably would have helped some with that, but yeah, just interesting for sure. Don't use PayPal. If you sign up for services, use Gmail and do the dual authentication stuff.
Drives me nuts doing the dual authentication, but I force myself to do it with everything Google because it's such a nightmare if you don't and you get... It's funny. More and as time goes on, I think more and more and more and more about this, especially for no other reason than I know somebody out there in the world has my credit card number because I shop at Target. You know?
Yeah.
You know, and how long until somebody decides to use that? You know, hopefully it'll be somebody who gets, you know, $5 to $10 from 120 million people. So if I miss it, it's only $100 and not somebody who, you know, sells my credit card number to, you know, sells my credit card number along with 10 others to some dude for a grand. And then the guy wants to get his grand, you know, get a good ROI. And so takes out $2,000, you know, over 10 credit cards and all of a sudden about $200 or something, you know, or worse. You know, it's like, and you know, that's the part that's just like, man, freaks me out. I feel like, oh, you got to do better. I mean, like at some point, you know, just the way it's going and the way life is heading, you got to start weeding through the, you know, through all this. Cause otherwise, you know, until we get to the point where there's, you know, until the 3-point authentication, you know, something that defines it as something you have with you, something that identifies that it is you, like DNA or retina, and then something only you could know. So you have to have the right device measuring that it is, you know, evaluating that it is you in some capacity, and then you input your password or whatever. That's security experts say that is as secure as you can get. Yeah, that's as secure as you can get. It's a perfect no, but it's and then have that all go over, you know, super, you know, quantum encryption. Until we get to that point, I think you got to take this seriously, because that's a lot of money, man. That's a big. That's not a capital cruiser in some video game, dude. That's 10 capital cruisers in some video game. 50K.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's how much that account is worth, because people have offered that. But
right, and you know, presumably that's what you know the guy's gonna. Presumably that's what the guy's gonna do is he's gonna sell it to 20 grand to somebody who's gonna sell it for 30 grand to somebody who's gonna sell it for 40 grand to a guy who's gonna buy it and use it for 50 grand. And they'll have laundered it enough where the guy that, you know, did the deed is far enough away from the guy who actually finally ends up with the account, and now money's changed hands enough time that Twitter's kind of like, sorry, guys, you know, I don't know what to do here. You know, but so presumably it's, you know, it's worth real money. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's weird.
Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy mixed up world. I wanted to talk about this because I love this story. Guess what's coming out on Friday?
Friday. What is that? That's going to be, I don't know.
The 9th.
Valentine's Day? No, that's next week.
Yeah. Oh, man, I don't know. Spain for Valentine's Day, I think. So, something way cool. I'm super stoked about this.
Does that matter, just out of curiosity?
What? That I'm going to be in...
You're going to be Valentine's Day?
No. It doesn't matter.
Anything you want to share? No? Okay, got it. Just checking.
I don't have a Valentine. Yeah, I'm going to be alone and sad. I am going to post my two favorite Valentine's Day videos that I post every year because they're amazing. YouTube links, they're great. La amor. This Friday, I'm super stoked because the Lego movie comes out.
Lego movie.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I'm super stoked for this movie. I am super stoked for it. I'm actually doing what I shouldn't do, and I'm going over to Rotten Tomatoes to see what the it doesn't have a rating yet. Okay. Interesting. 96% want to see it. The first two reviews, it's only got two reviews so far, are both positive. So that's good news. I can't even tell you how excited I am for this movie. And the thing is,
what's the storyline for it?
I don't know. There's like bad guys and good guys, and it's what it sounds like is that there's a Lego world, right? And something's going bad. And there's one Lego minifig character, the main character, who can save the day, and he gets helped along with all the different Lego characters, but they get to use all the Lego IP that they have, you know, IP for. So like Batman's there, and all of the old Lego sets are there, and I don't think they're gonna do Star Wars. I'll bet that that's just hairy enough of a licensing agreement, especially now that Disney owns it, that they couldn't throw Star Wars stuff into it. But they did get some of the bigger characters, DC Marvel type universe stuff. So I'm super stoked, and the voice actors look great, and the trailers look hilarious. So anyways, the reason I bring all this up is not just to advertise for the Lego movie, which go see, it comes out on Friday, but because as part of their, you know, I'm assuming that this is part of their lead up to the movie and their advertising campaign, Google built an all digital Lego construction set. It's a Google Chrome experiment. And basically what you can do is you can go in and build Lego models and stuff. And I've used Lego's 3D model builder tool before, and it's pretty lame. It's difficult to use. This is like sweet. It works well, and you can build stuff up and all sorts of different colors. And you can't use the really cool like random part colors, but you can use like their entire assortment of, you know, kind of standard Legos and build cool stuff. And you do it in Chrome. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's just like, just neat.
Have you built anything cool yet?
No. I found it during work, and then I was working. So
you were doing work.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
I tried it out, and then it was like, I should probably do what I get paid to do and not just play with Legos all day, although I really wanted to. So, yeah.
I understand.
I'm super stoked on that.
Lego movie comes out Friday. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I'll have to watch the trailer.
Yeah. You'll want to go so bad afterwards. Trust me.
All right. Fair enough.
So this is the this is another story that I love. Yeah. So, BlackBerry on Thursday had its 1 year anniversary, BlackBerry 10. At its 1 year anniversary of being launched. It was launched on whatever day that was, January 30th, 2013. It's 1 year old. And according to market share numbers in America, which were very good for iOS, as the iOS is now growing and bigger than Android in America. BlackBerry is not doing as well. It is sitting at a fat and happy 0% market share in America.
And good job, BlackBerry.
Yeah, that is just atrocious. That is just atrocious. You know, it's funny. You know, I always think back to the statement with the, you know, the iPhone when it was first announced, that original keynote. You know, Steve Jobs really tried to set the expectations low. And he said, you know, what their goal was is to get 1% in the first year. And the reason why they said that was because they thought that any phone that could get 1%, any platform that could get 1% in the first year had a future and would grow, you know, past that, and like the next year would be able to get to 10%, and would continue to grow until it was a, you know, a dominant platform. But that was the ramp rate that they needed, and they hit like 5% in the first year, so, you know, they did fine, and obviously they continue to grow. But if there's any truth behind that to this day, and I think there is, BlackBerry 10 is dead. It is just absolutely dead. There's nothing doing. Like, what are you supposed to do with that number? That's terrible.
I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, what did we end up predicting? BlackBerry is a company is going to be is done, take it out of the oven this year, correct?
I think so. I hope so.
Yeah. That's crazy. And then
it's almost as crazy as what happened earlier today.
You're coming back around on the whole depressed thing about the
No, I can't help it. I can't help it.
Yeah.
I can't help it. No. Yeah. It's always there in the back of my head.
I know.
It's always there.
I know. It's not.
But that's okay. I don't like BlackBerry, so, you know, I can stomach that.
I do have one that's pretty cool, though. This one should be pretty excited for you.
Okay.
Pebble. Their apps in their app store. For their app for the iPhone.
Yeah.
It's getting an app store. So all those cool apps that you have to, like, do all sorts. I don't actually know what the process is for downloading apps, but, you know, you only have, like, you can have 8, and you have to, like, find them from third-party sites, and you have to, like load them separately. That is all over. You can now manage them all from your iOS device over Bluetooth. So if you want to change up apps, you just go into the app store. You know, go into the app, go to their app store, look up the app that you want, download it, goes your watch over Bluetooth, and then you're up and ready to rock and roll. So, and they're launching that kind of as a, you know, another upgrade in combination with their Pebble Steel or Pebble Metal or whatever it is. I just got the
steel.
Yeah, I just that's funny. It's like materials jokes. I don't know why.
Huh?
Well, it's like, you know, a pebble is like a rock, you know, and then it's like a small like rock material, and then steel, like pebble steel. So, you know, they're not totally. I don't know. I don't know if that's why they did that, but I'm gonna go with it. Sorry. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When's it coming out? Monday.
Monday, yeah. That's right. I meant to write that down.
Monday. Cool.
So if you're listening to this. Right. Oh, you can go to
it's
Apple.
Today,
right?
Or yesterday. Yeah, that's cool, man. I'm excited for that. They talked about it at CES, but they kind of made it sound like it was off in the future, but not that far off, apparently. Cool.
Right.
Yeah, I still like my Pebble. I'm charging it right now. Works well. I'm a fan of Pebble for sure.
I'm still.
Yeah, I'll have to try out some of those. Find some new apps.
I'm holding out for the iWatch, which almost is certainly going to come this year, and my iPhone 6, and it's going to be all.
Cook isn't too subtle, though. He mentioned I thought he made it sound like they were going to have some sort of commercial. Maybe they did because I didn't watch the whole game.
I didn't see one.
Yeah, that was. Unless you came out the Beats commercial.
Who would?
Speaking of which, any commercials you absolutely were like, oh, that was so well done? My problem was I saw the best one beforehand.
Which one was that?
And it's so much better. Which one was that? The Budweiser.
Yeah.
Just in case you find yourself doing a whole bunch
of
stuff.
That was a terrible Super Bowl commercial. It was a great YouTube video.
And the YouTube video was like 4 minutes long,
right?
And altogether, it works really well.
They chopped out a couple really key moments that made it, you know, lovable and fun. You know, it's like, you know, they basically showed two shots from him playing ping pong during the game, but on the YouTube that takes a minute, and it's entertaining, like. You know, and
they actually start cheering for him. Yeah,
exactly. And so when they drop the big thing at the wall at the end, and they bring him up, you're like, this is cool. You know, it's like the Don Cheadle moment when he's in the elevator, and they cut out the scene where he goes, "Hey, we're wearing the same jacket." It's just the best part of the entire video. Like, that's awesome. It's like that's when it clicked for him. Up to this point, this is just the most incredible thing that's ever happened to him, and he has no idea what's going on or why. And it was when he was sitting in the elevator that all of a sudden he realized, okay, this is crazy. Somebody is doing something. I don't know who it is. I don't know why. But this isn't random. Like, and that was when it clicked for him, and you could just see it in the way that he said it. It's like, okay, this is beyond weird. You know, and I don't know. I liked it. I thought it's funny, and I had friends at the game that were like, this is stupid. This is a dumb commercial. This is the worst. I can't believe they played it up this much. And I was like, you gotta watch it online. It's actually really good. It's funny. I found that ad the other day.
All the good ones are now.
Yeah. I found that ad the other day because I was watching the ads from Newcastle, which is my adult beverage of choice. It's because it makes me look sophisticated, unless you're from England, in which case it makes me look like trash because they can't believe I would drink that garbage. I'm like, it tastes good. I like it. But the commercial is pretty great, because basically what they do is it's a storyboard where they like start out and they're like, we were going to make a Super Bowl ad, and then we realized we barely had any advertising budget, so instead we'll show you the storyboard we made. And it's just this ridiculous over the top, like, you know, like all these different things, like they're like, they're talking about how they're like, there'll be CG apes that are going to come, and like there's going to be a party on the beach, and there's going to be CG apes that come to destroy the party on the beach, and then out of the water a giant robot will come up, but it's not a real giant robot, or it's not a CG giant robot, it's a real giant robot that'll cost crazy amounts of money. And Anna Kendrick is like going to be like the main female character in like the whole thing, and like she's like running around as like this beer babe, and you're just like, what is this? This is hilarious. It's like really funny to watch. And they're like, but we didn't make it because we didn't have any money. And then it like there's a link to another video on Newcastle's YouTube page, and it's they're interviewing Anna Kendrick, and she's just making fun of them for it's kind of like this candid, like, as though it's somebody else interviewing her, just like, what happened with the Newcastle commercial? And she's just complaining about how, like, how unprofessional and how ridiculous it is, and how it doesn't even make sense to have her in it. And they keep bleeping her because she keeps saying Super Bowl, and they don't have the budget to buy the rights to say Super Bowl, because you have to have expressed, you know, permission from the NFL.
Yeah,
and so, and she's like, and at the very end of the commercial, at the very end of this thing where she just gets like done ragging on Newcastle, she gets up and walks away, and then this hand comes in from off screen with a six pack of Newcastle and just sets it down where she was sitting. It's like awesome. That's so funny. Oh man. So I think those are my two favorites. I don't know. I did you see the M&M, not the M&M, the Cheerios commercial?
I don't remember it.
It was later. It might even have been the second half, but I really liked it because it was just so simple. It was basically this dad. He's got like four. He's got a bunch of Cheerios, and he goes. He moves the one Cheerio, and he goes, "This is me," to this little girl. Then,
you know what? I did see that, but I was in a conversation, so I didn't actually pay attention to it. But I remember the Cheerio.
Oh yeah, it's so funny because he goes. So he takes. So it's like the scene is him and his daughter sitting at the kitchen table, and then his wife sitting, like, you know, doing dishes or something. And so it cuts to her every once in a while looking over and smiling, but he goes like, this Cheerio is me, this Cheerio is mommy, and then this Cheerio is you. And so there's like three Cheerios coming up, and he goes, and this Cheerio, and then he takes one more and he moves it out, and he makes some comment about, you know, we're gonna get another Cheerio, you know, you're gonna have a little baby. And the young girl looks at his dad all serious. She reaches out and she like does something with the Cheerios that you can't quite see from the camera angle. And she pulls her hand away and she goes, and that Cheerio is our new puppy. And the dad just looks at her and goes, deal. And then they cut to the mom with just this horrified look. Like, and that's it. That's all the commercial is. It was just like, oh, that's so funny. It was just like, it was just really simple. It's like kind of sweet, but really funny. I was like, that's nice job, Cheerios. That was, yeah. I mean, and now I've said the name, brand name like 8 times. It was good. It was well done. And that's, you know, and it's funny. To me, that's a brilliant, like, you know, there's sometimes in the years past, there have been these great ads, just like hilarious ads, that don't remember the brand at all. You have no idea. They were like, you'll talk about it, and it was a great ad. You have no clue. I thought that this year there was a couple of really good ones that they all did a better job of actually branding their whatever they were selling, where you kind of remember what they were selling. And B, I thought like that Cheerio one was just brilliant in that it only makes sense with Cheerios, and you can't talk about it without saying Cheerios, because that was like the center, you know. I don't know. It was good. I was glad to see that GoDaddy has classed up their act a little bit. I don't really remember what the commercial was because it was pretty benign, but compared to the ridiculousness of their last 10 years, they're They're just going with the tried and true now. Just kind of run-of-the-mill ads and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple of movie trailers. I always love the movie trailers. Noah looks pretty epic. I have no idea if it's going to be good or not, but Winter Soldier looks pretty awesome.
I think it's funny. It was like, it's the untold story, and I'm like, untold story?
Yeah.
I don't understand. I feel like the story's been told a couple times.
Well, but, yeah. I mean,
not a big cinema with Russell Crowe.
Yeah, and, you know, over a 2.5 hour, you know, time frame.
Yeah. Yeah, Winter Soldier, I thought, was that a new trailer? I don't remember seeing that one.
Yeah, it was a new trailer, because they really haven't shown anything of the Winter Soldier fighting yet. That was the big teaser for all of the fans that kind of knew it was coming or didn't know it was coming or anything, but yeah. I'll probably
And I guess finally halftime show, yay, nay. I liked it. I'm there to watch the game.
Say, I like Bruno Mars and Red Hot Chili Peppers, so I thought it was cool. I don't know. Sound quality was awful, but it's, you know, middle of a giant Super Bowl.
They got done in there like, this is the go down as one of the best shows ever. I was like, really? All right. Sure.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. My roommate likes to watch, or housemate likes to watch, that was that show, American Idol. And so I've watched a little bit of the auditions this year, and I get the same feeling I get every year, where somebody will walk in and they'll be singing, and I was like, oh, that was terrible. I can't believe it. They thought they were a good singer, and they're like, you are going straight to Hollywood. Oh, my gosh, you're the best thing ever. And I was like, really? I'm going to have other people come in, and they'll sing, and I'll be like, yeah, this is all right. This is pretty good. You know, it's not great, but I could see how this would pass. And they'll just, like, cut them off after 30 seconds. They're like, this is just not going to happen for you. You need to go. I am not that tone deaf. Like, really? Like, how?
Yeah.
I can't tell. I just can't tell. I guess evidently I am that tone deaf, and I feel deeply embarrassed by it and frustrated and bummed out about it, but it just is. So.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you if it was the best show in a while or not.
All right. Fair enough. I feel like they would say that. They have, like, they're contractually obligated to say that. But
yeah. Well, this game, I'll tell you what, Super Bowl 48 is going to go down in history. That's for sure.
You know, all I got to say is 49-49.
Yeah.
It just has to happen.
I know. I'm feeling it. Come on, Kaepernick.
So it's happening. Kaepernick. It's at their hometown, right? Did you already buy tickets to the Super Bowl for next year?
No.
You should. It's in Santa Clara.
I know. Yeah.
You don't have to travel anywhere.
You can't. I can't afford that. I don't have that kind of money. It's gonna be crazy.
You know what you gotta do is you gotta get a couple Benjamins and then day of the game go out there try to scalp some. Make it happen.
It's not a bad idea. You know what you really need to do, though? You need to get a cooler full of cold beer about 3 blocks from the stadium and sell them for for $3 each as people are heading in. That make money off the proposition, man.
Let me put it to you this way. If you figured out a way to get tickets, I'd be interested.
Okay. All right. I'll keep
just
that in mind.
Throw that one out there.
I will keep that in mind. I was going to say something.
And obviously, if it's the 49ers, that would be impossible to get tickets. I get that, but, you know.
Yeah. I will say this. I mean, and I'm only saying this because it's the very end of the show, but what's his name? The quarterback for the Seahawks?
Russell Wilson?
Russell Wilson. He is going to get a crazy payday next year, because he's still on his rookie contract as a second
year. Yeah, this is only his second year.
Right. But this is the end of his rookie contract, so he gets to renegotiate for next year. And the Seahawks won't be able to afford half their defense after he gets done negotiating with them. So this, you know, if the Seahawks were going to do it, this was the year to do it, because they won't be able to afford to do it next year. It's the only solace I can take.
Wilson will be a reasonable man In which case, if he is, my respect for him will skyrocket. And, you know, because he could get another ring if they're able to hold on to their guys. They're a good team, I guess. No, they're a good team. I'll admit it. I just didn't think the Broncos were going to be that bad.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny. I don't have a hard time admitting that the Seahawks are a good team. I just don't like them. I just dislike them deeply, and I felt embarrassed and sad for the Broncos, and just depressed on a whole. I mean, it just was so bad. It is so bad.
Okay. Well, and this, listeners, is why we don't talk politics, because we couldn't keep it objective.
Yeah, well, yeah. And you think, I'm going to say, yeah, exactly. That's the real reason we don't talk politics, is not even because it's not even that we can't keep it objective, but it's that you would be so depressing that, like, we wouldn't be able to finish the conversation. We're just so, like, it just is so, like, I get so sad thinking about it.
All right. Well, you know what? Congratulations to the Seahawks. Hope you lose hard next year. And I'm looking forward to next year. Yeah, it was a good week. A lot of stuff happened. A lot of, Lenovo doing their thing. Twitter trying to track down a username. Facebook launched our new product. Check that out. I'll be checking out the Pebble app tomorrow, it sounds like. That should be good. Probably get an email from them. They always email me about anything going on, which is fun. Not me personally. I'm a backer, so I get in the email thing. I mean, they do email me personally, but you know what I mean.
I do. Yeah.
Go play EVE Online. Tell me how that goes.
I will. I got to finish my city in SimCity, but I'll get there eventually.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, everybody, this should work. Why aren't you working? I guess it won't. Thank you for joining us. My name is James Furlow, and did you even do anything at the beginning?
No, that was part of my depression. I just said my brother James Furlow.
Got it. I was in a state where I wasn't really paying attention. So, I guess my brother, Matthew Furlow. Oh, my brother is Matthew Furlow. So, we will talk next time. Thank you.